Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Matt Peck, Bulls writer at FanRag Sports and the host of the 312, which covers all five of Chicago's major teams every Saturday afternoon from 2 to 3 on 1590 WCGO. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Bulls_Peck, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. Matt Peck here, holding down the fort with a solo show today. Jordan is occupied, or I don't know, maybe he's playing hooky because it is opening day, folks. Happy baseball season, everybody. Whether your allegiance lies with the Cubs or the White Sox, opening day, undoubtedly a great day and exciting day for all of us Chicagoans. Be sure to check out Locked On's baseball coverage and all of their baseball podcasts at LockedOnMLB.com. If you're a Cubs fan, tune in to Locked On Cubs and follow them on Twitter at Locked On Cubs. Some cool news there. I will be making some guest appearances on Locked On Cubs in the near future, so be sure to stay tuned for those. And for all of you White Sox fans, fear not, a Locked On Sox podcast is on the way. On today's Locked On Bulls, we'll be talking about this Bulls Heat matchup we've got on deck tonight. Heat lead the season series 2-1, but the Bulls were the victors in their most recent matchup back in January. Plus an interesting hypothetical. This is something that was going around the Twitter sphere last week. Our friends at FanRag and some of their video creators put up this great LeBron bracket of what LeBron might do in his free agency summer of 2018. Will he stay in Cleveland? Will he go elsewhere? And they filled out this great bracket with all 30 NBA teams saying which team is most likely, which is the most likely suitor. And because it was all 30 teams, the Bulls were in there somewhere. Chicago is probably the biggest LeBron-hating city across the NBA. The guy has been tormenting the Bulls for years, whether he was it's his first stint in Cleveland or his Miami years and now back in Cleveland, eliminated the Bulls from the playoffs four different occasions. So I'm just curious, and I'm certainly conflicted on this. If the Bulls were on LeBron's radar as he hits free agency, hypothetically, reminder, this is all hypothetical. If the Bulls were on LeBron's radar, would you want him in Chicago? Could you welcome him to Chicago? Could you forgive the past torments and sweep the long-standing LeBron hate in this city under the rug and welcome him to try to get this Bulls team back on track, to lead this Bulls team as he enters the twilight years of his career? And it's funny because you say twilight years, but at 33, he's putting up some of the best numbers of his career and certainly doesn't really show any signs of slowing down. So would you want LeBron on the Bulls? We're going to talk about that in the latter segment of today's show. And reminder, you can, as always, send us voicemails and texts to our line at 331-979-1369. If you have thoughts on a LeBron to the Bulls hypothetical, we'd love to hear them. So send us your texts and your voicemails. But as I said, let's start out today by taking a look at this Bulls Heat matchup we have on deck tonight. The Heat are on their way to the Eastern Conference playoffs unless anything crazy happens. They, of course, welcomed Dwayne Wade back right before the trade deadline last month, and he has been putting in some solid minutes for them, coming off the bench, playing a reserve role. And he got a pretty big win over LeBron and the Cavs just a couple of days ago. Held the Cavaliers to their season low in points. A defensive battle where the Heat came out victorious. Wade talking after the game about the importance of the defensive effort that the Heat have been putting forth recently, saying they're a defensive team first, that they can occasionally outshoot a team, get into a shootout kind of match and win, but they need to play good defensive ball for them to win. And that's what they did against the Cavs. LeBron getting blocked by his good buddy Dwayne Wade twice. Those were two of the four blocks that Dwayne Wade had in that game as the Heat were victorious over the Cavs. And it just kind of made me laugh because as we were watching Dwayne Wade in a Bulls jersey all of last season, when did we see that kind of defensive effort from him? Dwayne Wade's defensive effort, air quotes, last season, was laughably nothing. Nothing. Which made his calling out of the team's effort in that epic post-game rant that he and Jimmy Butler went on after that disappointing loss to the Atlanta Hawks midseason last year, where he was calling out people for their lack of effort, the young guys, I'm not sure they care enough, and there Dwayne Wade is out on the court dogging it on defense. Now, after a failed experiment in Cleveland, he's back in Miami, and he's trying. He's playing defense. Pretty funny. The Heat will be shorthanded tonight. We have already been confirmed that their backup center, Bam Adebayo, will not be playing. He's dealing with a sprained ankle. And their main big guy, one of the most intimidating rim protectors in the league, Hassan Whiteside, is questionable right now. He is suffering from, I believe, a knee? A hip. So he is listed as questionable, a game time decision for tonight, Hassan Whiteside against the Bulls. So if you look back to the last time these teams played, very different story. The Bulls getting a win over the Heat, ending the Heat's 7-game winning streak back on January 15th, the Bulls winners 119-111. And so many interesting things about that game. Justin Holiday had a career high 7 made 3-pointers and 25 points. Niko Mirotić, yep, he was still here. He scored all 18 of his points in the fourth quarter of this tight game. Lauri Markkanen, the rookie, had his presence there with 17 points and 9 rebounds. So, and this was Zach LaVine's second game back after missing the first half of the season, rehabbing that torn ACL. Zach LaVine also had a decent night in this one. His first game was rough. He got a little bit back on track and made his presence felt, chipping in. Let's see, what was Zach LaVine's line in this game? Because he was still on his minutes restriction. He played just 20 minutes, but put up 18 points on 7 of 12 shooting, adding 5 rebounds and 5 assists. Wow. So, different time. Basically a different era the last time these teams played. The Bulls still had Niko coming off their bench and playing well. Zach LaVine was just trying to get into the swing of things, and Lauri Markkanen hadn't yet hit the rookie wall, and the Bulls get a win. This was when the Bulls were still playing very well, playing good basketball. This was their 14th win of their past 21 games. Of course, that was dating back to that crazy winning streak they went on in December. So it'll be a different story tonight, and the Bulls at this point have lost, what, 6 or 7 games in a row now and are crawling their way to the finish line. The Heat, meanwhile, well, they have something to play for. Obviously, the seeding in the NBA East is still up in the air. the top three teams, it's pretty much set in stone. It's Toronto, it's Boston, it's Cleveland, although Philadelphia is right on the heels of the Cavs, just a half game back, separating the Sixers from the Cavs in those 3 and 4 spots. But Miami right now sits in 7th at 40-35. Wouldn't it be interesting if we, whether it's Miami moving up to 6 or... I mean, yeah, I guess that's the only option, because the Cavs, there's no way that they can catch Boston for the 2. So maybe Miami moves up to 6 and they get a Cavs Heat matchup in the first round. Wouldn't that be something? Also, who knows? The Heat might be an interesting upset pick if they stay in that 7th spot and have Boston in the first round, because nobody knows what's going on with Kyrie Irving, whether or not he'll be able to play. Boston has a lot of people that they're trying to get healthy for their playoff run, and people are wondering if Boston might be a surprise early exit. And Miami has been playing well. Certainly down the back half of this season, they've been putting it together. Credit to Eric Spoelstra. It seems like no matter what he has on that team of his, he finds a way to get wins, especially towards the end of the season when playoffs are on the line. As for the Bulls, we know that they are shorthanded, and that will be no different tonight. Probably see more of the new Sean Kilpatrick, who made his Bulls debut earlier this week, actually had himself a nice game off the bench. But, I mean, can we really expect a Bulls win tonight on the road in Miami? Miami fighting for playoff seeding, fighting to lock down a playoff spot. I don't see it. Fred Hoiberg has his work cut out for him. It seems like most everybody in Chicago is tuned out of this Bulls team at the moment, and really most everybody is looking forward to Loyola and their Final Four matchup against Michigan on Saturday. Who's paying attention to Bulls Heat when everybody in this city is so excited to have Loyola Chicago, a 11-seeded Cinderella, in the Final Four? But we've got Zach LaVine out with a knee. Chris Dunn still nursing that toe injury. Lauri Markkanen did play through his sore back in their loss to Houston, their blowout loss earlier this week, but he did tweak or hit or do something to his right elbow towards the end of the first half of that game. He did come back and play some minutes in the second half, but looked to be still a little bit uncomfortable. We haven't heard anything as of yet, as we're recording this on late Thursday morning, that Markkanen has been ruled out for tonight, but who knows? Obviously, the Bulls are ideally trying to lose out and fight their way up a spot or two in these tankathon standings. And if there is any discomfort that Lowry's feeling with that elbow at this morning's shoot-around, at their shoot-around before the game, you have to assume that Hoiberg and the Bulls are going to play it safe and shut him down. No point in risking an aggravation or a worsening of that, whatever that arm or elbow injury is that Markkanen's dealing with, in a game that has no meaning and in a game that would benefit the Bulls to lose. So we might be without Markkanen tonight as well. As far as what you can expect from this group tonight and what the effort should be, I mean, to their credit, they stuck around with Houston through a quarter. They were only down 8 after the first quarter, and that was the Houston Rockets playing without James Harden and without Clint Capella. And I mentioned that the Heat will be shorthanded tonight as well, but comparatively, the Bulls will be more shorthanded. And even though the Heat are not a very dynamic offensive scoring team, this Bulls defense has really struggled in the last month or so. Since the lineup changes, they have just failed to find that energy on the defensive end. They've been struggling with mismatches. And if the Bulls' role players are not shooting well, they really don't have much of a chance. And that will probably be the case. I don't think that the Bulls are going to get blown out by 30-plus as they did against the Rockets just a couple days ago. But if I were forced to put money on this game, I'd say that the Heat, with all they have to play for, are going to show up and put this one away. So that's that. I mean, there's really not a whole lot else to talk about as far as what to expect from this game tonight. The Bulls are probably going to lose, and that's a good thing. Before we take a break, speaking of that being a good thing, let's just get everybody updated on the Tankathon watch. We had some Tankathon games last night. The Brooklyn Nets lost to the the Brooklyn Nets lost to the Orlando Magic, so that brought Orlando's win total to 22 on the season. Or no, I'm sorry, the Brooklyn Nets won. Brooklyn beat Orlando, so that brought Brooklyn's win total equal to the Bulls at 24. Sacramento and Brooklyn both 24-51. The Bulls just a half game back in eighth at 24-50. So if the Bulls lose tonight, that would bring them into a three-way tie for sixth in the Tankathon seeding with Sacramento and Brooklyn. And the Bulls have two more games against Brooklyn and one against Orlando. So that certainly, it's possible. We talked about that as part of our mailbag segment in yesterday's show. It seemed for a while that the Bulls were destined to just be stuck in that eighth seed, and they still might be. If the Bulls accidentally win a game or two down the stretch, they might be stuck in eighth. But if they lose out, and though that losing out includes two losses to Brooklyn and one loss to Orlando, you never know. Meanwhile, the Memphis Grizzlies, who looked like the most laughably bad team in the league, have suddenly accidentally won their last two games. Now, Memphis is at 21-54, tied with Atlanta for the second and third seeds in the Tankathon standings. And Phoenix, the cheese stands alone. Phoenix still searching for their 20th win, or maybe they're not searching that hard. Phoenix ahead of the pack, 19-57. Meanwhile, the New York Knicks are sitting in ninth behind the Bulls at 27-49. So a loss for the Bulls tonight would be pretty big, as it would bring them into a tie with Sacramento and Brooklyn. And as far as tonight's Tankathon matchups, not a whole lot going on. We do have the Kings in action playing at home against the Indiana Pacers. Unlikely that the Kings would find a way to win that game. The Pacers themselves are fighting for playoff seeding, currently in fifth in the East, just a half game back of Philly and one game back of Cleveland for the three seed, holding off Washington. They're 2.5 games back of Indiana in the sixth seed. So other than the Bulls, that's the only other tanking team in action tonight, Kings and Pacers. And we'll see where the Bulls stand after tonight's action. If the Kings can somehow find a way to beat the Pacers, the Bulls will be moving up at least a spot in those Tankathon standings. We got to take a quick break. When we come back on the other side, we'll talk about a hypothetical LeBron to Chicago.
You're fucking hot!
That's next on Locked On Bulls. Welcome back to Locked On Bulls. Matt Peck here with you on a solo show today, Thursday, March 29th. Now, our next segment of today's show, I teased it as we were getting started, and you might already be up in arms to think that I'm crazy for wondering if this is even worth debating. But our friends at Fan Rag Hoops, and you can check out this bracket. It's called the King's Landing. Check it out, FRS Hoops. That's HOOPZ.com. Our friends at Fan Rag Hoops brought up this idea of the King's Landing, a.k.a. where will LeBron James land in free agency this summer? And they made a bracket, a 32-team bracket. And the funny detail is that, of course, there are only 30 NBA teams. So one of the extra two went to the Harlem Globetrotters. If maybe, you know, LeBron wanted a change of pace, get out of the rat race of the NBA. And the other of the two extra seeds went to the Pittsburgh Steelers of the National Football League, because whether I'm not sure whether you heard, but the Steelers wide receiver Juju Smith-Schuster had been recently trying to recruit LeBron to leave the NBA and come play in the NFL. So, of course, you've got the high seeds in this LeBron where will he land bracket, the King's Landing bracket, being staying in Cleveland, going to play in Houston with his buddy CP3 and James Harden, who right now look like the favorites, given Steph Curry's injury, to win the West. You've got the Philadelphia 76ers, which would mean LeBron staying in the easier Eastern Conference and teaming up with the pretty awesome trio they've got building there right now with Markelle Fultz, who just came back from his injury, Ben Simmons, and of course the dominant and emerging star in Joel Embiid. Perhaps the Los Angeles Lakers. That's also been a frequently named team when talking about where LeBron might want to play. He's got all of his business ventures going on out in L.A., wants to get into the movie-making biz someday and all that jazz. Most of his business stuff is based in L.A., and it's Magic, and it's the Lakers, and it's outside of the Knicks and the Celtics, the most popular, the most famous, the most historic franchise in the city, in the NBA. And you wonder if LeBron is looking at the Lakers right now and saying, I don't really know if that core is good enough to compete in a, you know, realistic terms and a realistic timeline of what the years I have left, especially considering they are in the much tougher Western Conference. And maybe the Clippers, outside shot, another LA team. Warriors, that was a funny rumor that came around earlier this season. Remember that? What if LeBron might go listen to a pitch from the Warriors? Come on, get out of here. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about LeBron to the Bulls. As a Bulls fan, would you want to see that happen? The Bulls tried unsuccessfully to lure LeBron James to Chicago in the summer of 2010. That summer when it looked like the Bulls were high up on the list of places where LeBron and Wade and Bosh all wanted to play together. In fact, some reports stated that really, if it weren't for the Bulls' inability to execute a deal sending Luol Deng away to, I believe, the Los Angeles Clippers, that would have happened. That the Bulls were the first choice of Wade and Bron and Bosh. The three of them wanted to play together, and if that could happen in Chicago, they wanted to do it in Chicago. The Bulls financially and with their roster couldn't make it work, and so instead, Wade convinces LeBron and Bosh to join him in Miami. And we all know how the rest of that story goes. That team gets the NBA Finals four straight seasons, including eliminating the Bulls once in the Eastern Conference Finals and once in the Eastern Conference Semifinals in 2011 and 2013, respectively. And they win two titles in 2012 2013. They get beat in the 2014 Finals by the Spurs handily, and LeBron puts his tail between his legs and goes back to Cleveland. I'm sorry, I can't help myself. Of course, he came back to Cleveland to make good on the unfinished business he had there. Good for him. But fast forward a few years, LeBron James, at 33 years old in his 15th season in the league, is still dominant, carrying this mismatched hodgepodge group of Cavaliers back to a top seed in the East, we think, right now, unless the Pacers and Wizards both go on a little bit of a spurt here, or the Pacers and Sixers go on a spurt, and somehow the Cavs fall from third to fifth in the last week and a half of the season. But either way, it doesn't really matter about seeding, does it? LeBron's probably going to bring that Cavs team at least to the second round, probably the conference finals, and maybe again to the finals. And then summer hits, and then LeBron has a decision to make. And it probably will weigh into his decision exactly how far the Cavs get and what they do and what he believes that their plan is moving forward. Can they build another team around him that is capable of getting back to the NBA Finals, perhaps winning the NBA Finals. So this is a total hypothetical because LeBron doesn't want to come to Chicago. Right now, 8 years later, it's not just the fact that LeBron wants to come here and we can't make it happen. No, LeBron's not looking at the Bulls. Come on. Why would he? This team is at least 2 years from realistic contention. At least. But brushing all of that real talk aside, because it's fun, I'm just curious. I'm curious what most Bulls fans feel about a potential LeBron to Chicago situation. It's not an easy automatic yes for me. And you might call me crazy. Feel free to call me crazy. It's not an automatic yes. I've spent the better part of the last 15 years hating LeBron James. My respect for him as a elite superstar, a guy who has changed the game of basketball, a guy who has shown us things that we have not seen, and yes, I am including Michael Jordan in that. A guy who has made me fear through most of his career that he will one day surpass Michael Jordan as being widely known and regarded and agreed upon as the greatest basketball player to ever play the game, to ever live. MJ still has him on the rings, 6-3. MJ, a perfect 6-for-6 in the finals. You all know the arguments in MJ's favor. But what LeBron James is doing, when it's all said and done, I honestly don't know if MJ can still easily hold that over him. The number of arguments are pretty quickly shifting in favor of LeBron. The stats, the numbers, the longevity. It's hard to argue. And because of that, I have spent most of LeBron James's career hating it and hating him instead of appreciating how great he is. And that's a hard realization to face. And I'm sure I am not alone with our Bulls Nation listeners out there in the way that I feel about that. And look, it's not just the fear and intimidation of him surpassing MJ. It's the fact that I, for a long time, have had a problem with the way LeBron conducts himself on and off the court. We all know he flops. We all know he has his moments as a crybaby on the court. We all know that he is questioned whether or not he has that killer instinct, that insane competitive drive that made Michael Jordan as good and great as he was. Maybe, especially with his performance in the 2016 NBA Finals, part of that has been put to rest. But not all of it. There's still plenty of people, yours truly included, who questions if LeBron really cares and is competitive enough about the game of basketball the same way that Michael Jordan was. I don't know if he has that killer instinct. Some might say, well, you know, just because he might pass the ball off in a last-second situation instead of taking the shot, that doesn't mean he's a coward. It doesn't mean he's a free spotlight. It just means he's a willing passer. Okay, sure. You know, MJ also made some great passes in his day. Steve Kerr, 1997 NBA Finals. Everybody remembers that one. I'm just saying it's not an automatic yes for me. Yes, LeBron is still dominant at age 33. And he probably has 7 good more years ahead of him. I mean, like the Tom Brady of the NBA. Would anybody be surprised if LeBron is still playing, and not only playing, but playing very well at age 40? The way all of the money that he puts into keeping his body in peak physical condition, all of the things he does to keep himself in shape, playing at a high level at 40, leading teams at 40, or at least being a key player, maybe not option one, but option two or three at age 40, doesn't seem that ridiculous for LeBron, this freak specimen that we have never seen the likes of before. So it's not like the Bulls would be getting the tail end of something like they got with Dwayne Wade last season. It's not like you'd be getting the washed up leftover bits of LeBron James if he hypothetically wanted to come to Chicago and play for the Bulls in his mid to late 30s. It's just hard to say yes to. It really is. The scars have not fully healed. And you can call me crazy for that, but it's hard welcoming a villain into your city. And if it was preordained, if it was predetermined that LeBron James coming to the Bulls would mean the Bulls would get back to the mountaintop, that he would deliver the Bulls at least one NBA title in his tenure, however long it may be. Hard to say no to that, but I don't want LeBron winning the Bulls title. He's been the villain. He always has been the villain. He always will be the villain. Sometimes you want something so badly, and don't get me wrong, I want more than anything. I still haven't even seen a Chicago Bears Super Bowl victory in my lifetime. The winter of 86, I was born in the early spring of 87. Have not seen a Bears Super Bowl. And I still might lean towards, if you gave me an option of Bears win the Super Bowl, Bulls get back to the top and win another NBA title, my love for the Bulls is so severe, so unhealthily severe, that I might actually pick that over the Bears. It's tough. It's tough. Close to 50-50. But I don't know if I would want it that way. And I might be alone there, but I don't think I am. Because of all of the LeBron haters out there over the course of his career, his great, insanely impressed career, you can't deny that most of that loud LeBron hate has come from Chicago, and for good reason. Chicagoans like to point out the weaknesses in LeBron's mental strength and personality, things that MJ would have never done or said, about brushing off that it's just basketball and it doesn't mean that much to me, et cetera, et cetera. Chicago fans hate LeBron. We have since day one. Can't deny that. If pressed, it's hard for me to say yes, and I think I'd say no. You can call me crazy if you want to. You could really call me crazy. 331-979-1369. Send us a text, send us a voicemail. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me that you could easily, without hesitation, without pause, welcome LeBron to Chicago and say, yes, lead us back to the promised land, Mr. Villain that I've hated for the last 15 years. Smug bastard that he is. I'm sorry, did I say that? It's an interesting conversation, isn't it? So, as I said, you can go check out that the King's Landing bracket about LeBron's free agent future in the summer of 2018 at frshoops.com. That's hoops with a Z. And weigh in. Cast your votes. It's a fun little bracket. Personally, I think if he wants to leave Cleveland again, what makes most sense for LeBron is to go play in Philly. Stay in the weaker Eastern Conference. You got Embiid, you got Simmons, you got Fultz. That team looks like it's on the rise. Nobody really expected them to be a top four seed this season. Crawling out of the basement, finally, being relevant, making the playoffs as a 6 or a 7 or an 8. Yeah, probably something like that, certainly within the realm of possibility. But the way that they played this season, can you imagine adding LeBron James to that Sixers team right now as it's currently constructed? Immediate favorites in the East. I mean, adding LeBron to any team in the East other than Brooklyn and Chicago and Orlando probably also immediately makes them the favorites in the East. That's how good he is. But Philly specifically? Immediately more favored than Boston. And I say that pretty confidently, even if assuming a healthy Boston, including a healthy Kyrie and a healthy Gordon Hayward. LeBron goes to Philly, they're the favorites next season in the East. Without a doubt. That's what I'd do if I were LeBron. If the Cavs fall short, say they don't even make it back to the finals, and he's wondering, man, I'm sick of Dan Gilbert. I've paid my dues. I got Cleveland the title that was promised. I fulfilled my oath. I owe this sitting nothing. And I can leave now. And I can feel, and I can leave and feel okay about it. And I want to go somewhere else. Philly's a fun city. You know that they would welcome LeBron with open arms, as excited as they are about that young Sixers team they have right now. That's what I'd do if I were LeBron. Definitely not even glancing at Chicago. But that's okay. In my opinion, that's okay. Because you know what? Call me short-sighted. Call me obtuse. Call me a hater. I don't want LeBron in Chicago. He's the villain. He will always be the villain. It'd be like bringing Isaiah Thomas to the Bulls in 1991. Don't want it. That's going to about do it here for today's Locked On Bulls. Just a reminder to follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Jordan C. Malley. Like us and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. And just a reminder, as I said in the beginning of today's show, it is officially baseball season, opening day today. Make sure you head over to LockedOnMLB.com to get all of the Locked On Network's baseball coverage, all of their podcasts, the Locked On MLB podcast, and plenty of podcasts about specific MLB teams, including the Cubs. Check them out on Twitter at LockedOnCubs. And enjoy all of that baseball coverage as we get underway. Cubs are just about 40-45 minutes away from first pitch. Wow, so exciting. Such an exciting time as baseball season finally gets underway. Mercifully, for those of us Chicago fans who have been stuck watching the hapless Blackhawks and the rebuilding Bulls for the better part of, oh, I don't know, what feels like, it's only been a few months, but it feels like a year. Those winter months are tough when the Bulls and Blackhawks are not worth watching. But now, baseball is finally here. So be sure to check all of Locked On Podcast Network's baseball coverage at LockedOnMLB.com. For Jordan Malley, who hopefully will get back in the fold on tomorrow's show, this is Matt Peck saying thanks so much for listening. As always, have a great day, Bulls Nation. We're out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.